This is the Community Forum, a public affairs presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. Welcome to the program. It's good to have you along. As we talk about the pro-life movement and the 47th anniversary of the Roe v. Wade decision on abortion back in 1973, this very week the anniversary was commemorated. And we will be talking today with the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation's Michael Ciccacioppo. He's been executive director there for nearly 20 years now. Thanks for joining us on the WPGM Community Forum. Let's start with a look at the state of the movement. What's the general public's attitude these days towards abortion?
I think from the polls that we've seen, people, when they find out what Roe versus Wade actually allows, that it allows basically with Doe versus Bolton, the other Supreme Court decision that was decided at the same time, that it allows abortion up until the moment of birth. And people have been under the misconception because the mainstream media and the pro-abortion forces have led them to believe that somehow abortions were really only allowed up in maybe the first trimester, and you know, then there were restrictions after that, but there really aren't. So people who find that out generally are against abortion up until the moment of birth. And so there's been a shift that way. Now, there are still probably a slight majority of people who might believe that abortion early in pregnancy is somehow okay, but all the way up until birth, people don't go along with that. And I think we have helped to educate people across the country that Roe versus Wade means, you know, abortion on demand for any reason, and unless the states have had a chance to restrict it, and that's been approved by the Supreme Court.
And we're at 47 years now since that decision or decisions were handed down. Where do we stand as far as the possibility of overturning that?
Right. Well, I mean, we believe that we're closer now than we've ever been before in the last 47 years because we believe that we do have on the Supreme Court a majority of justices who look to the Constitution for guidance in governing this country. And the Constitution nowhere mentions abortion or gives any right to abortion or even declares a right to privacy the way that Roe versus Wade construed that decision to allow abortion on demand. And so at this point in time, with a narrow majority, the Supreme Court could overrule Roe versus Wade as early as this summer, whenever they come out with their decisions at the end of this Supreme Court year in June. They have a case before them from Louisiana that has to do with requiring physicians to have admitting privileges in hospitals. But really, they could look at that law, and then they could look at Roe versus Wade and say, wait, Roe versus Wade has no basis in the Constitution, and they could overrule it this soon. Whether they'll do that this summer or not, I'm not sure. We have a sense that Justice John Roberts would prefer to wait until he has a stronger majority of pro-lifers on the Supreme Court so that when Roe versus Wade is overturned, it could be overturned with a very strong, maybe a 7-2 or an 8-1 majority as opposed to a 5-4 majority. So we don't know for sure how that's going to work. But we do know that we're closer to it than we've ever been. And certainly if President Trump is reelected, which we hope he will be at the end of this year for 4 more years and has a chance to replace some of the extreme pro-abortion justices with justices who will look to the Constitution, maybe that supermajority of justices will overturn Roe versus Wade in the pretty near future.
Now, if that does happen, of course, that's opening up for state laws and so forth to be changed. Where's the state legislatures at this point?
The way it works right now, if Roe versus Wade were to be overturned, then it would go back to the states to decide whether or not they're going to restrict abortion or not. And there have been some states, very notoriously, just last year, in January of last year, the New York legislature passed and the governor signed a law to codify in the state of New York that abortion would be available through all 9 months of pregnancy up until birth and even after birth, for that matter, in New York. And why would they pass a law like that, which under Roe versus Wade is actually perfectly legal? They did it because when they realize that Roe versus Wade is going to be overturned, and they want to already have it codified in the state of New York. And there are other states that are looking to do the same sort of thing, although nobody's done it quite the way New York has. So there will be states that will try to codify Roe versus Wade in their own states. And then there will be other states that have been chomping at the bit to put major restrictions on abortion, if not to virtually outlaw abortion in their states. And I believe those states will act quickly. Now, that brings up the question of Pennsylvania. What will happen in Pennsylvania if Roe versus Wade is overturned? In Pennsylvania, we have majorities of pro-lifers in the House and in the Senate that we believe would like to pass a law to restrict most abortions in the state of Pennsylvania if they were allowed to under federal law. The only problem is right now we have Governor Wolf, who is staunchly backs abortion, and he will certainly veto any pro-life legislation that might make it to his desk. So the question is, can we elect veto-proof majorities of pro-lifers to the state House and the state Senate this November so that when Roe versus Wade is overturned and the law is passed in Pennsylvania to restrict abortion, if the governor is still sitting and he vetoes it, the legislature can override his veto and we can make it the law of Pennsylvania? That's the big question.
Michael, it does seem like we are so polarized as a nation that there's no coming together. Is there some way we can find common ground on this and stop the name calling?
Well, it's difficult. It's really difficult when you think about the fact that, let's say, pedophiles. Okay, we hear a lot about pedophiles in the news these days for many different reasons. Would the people who are against pedophiles, preying on young children, would those people say, well, under certain circumstances, it's okay, to sexually abuse children? I mean, you wouldn't say that. It's the same way in abortion. We're not just talking about abusing children. We are talking about killing these children in gruesome, terrible ways while they're still living in their mother's wombs. And it's very, very difficult to say, well, yeah, let's compromise on this, and we'll let you do these abortions, but we don't want you to do these abortions. The only reason that we have had to compromise over the years in getting bills passed to restrict abortion is because under Roe versus Wade and federal law, there's only so much we're allowed to do. But if it were up to the states themselves, then I would see that it would be very, very difficult to compromise on that. And the only thing that might be compromised might be to get a law passed to restrict abortion. There might not be enough votes to pass the total restriction on abortion, so there may be some need to grant exceptions in the case of rape and incest, because that's the only way pragmatically we could get it passed. We don't agree with those. Those are killing little babies too. Those babies had nothing to do with the way they were conceived and should not be punished for the crimes of their parents. But that's the only possible thing, I think, that people that believe honestly that science that shows us that unborn children are living human beings just at an earlier stage than the rest of us.
If a Roe were overturned and the states somehow all managed to, do the same as far as the laws would go, what would the country look like? I mean, I think we think of it as, that's abortion's no longer a problem, but I think it would still exist.
That may be very true, but let me tell you what, the number of abortions would drop dramatically across the nation if abortions were restricted in many of our states. It's like looking at gambling, for example, okay? Before gambling was legal in Pennsylvania, gambling was legal in other places in our country. So, you know, people who object to a gambling, were happy that we didn't have gambling in Pennsylvania, but that didn't stop people from Pennsylvania who wanted to gamble from going to other states where it was legal. I mean, that those kind of things are going to exist in our country whenever you have, you know, differences in the laws. But the fact of the matter is, I think overall in the country, there was a lot less gambling across America whenever gambling was only permitted in very few jurisdictions, as the number of places that have allowed gambling to happen have grown, you know, the amount of gambling in the country has risen. So we don't take a position on gambling. I'm just saying that as an example, that's what you would see. The number of abortions, the total number of abortions would go down dramatically, which means that many, many, many babies' lives will be saved and many women will be spared from the horrors of abortion, not only of going through the abortion, but the rest of their lives and for the rest of eternity, living with the fact that they did participate in the killing of their own unborn child, which is a terrible burden for women to carry.
One of the headlines in your Lifelines winner newsletter, magazine, what do you call it?
Yes, newspaper.
Okay. Sure. Newspaper, okay. Says the March for Life is pro-woman, which, you know, that's always the argument we're hearing is you hate women, you against abortion, so you're not pro-woman.
I happen to be the executive director of the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation. I'm a man. But the president of the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation, Susan Rogax, who is the president of our board of directors, is a woman herself. The president of National Right to Life is a woman, Carol Tobias. The president of the March for Life in Washington, D.C., Jeannie Mancini, is a woman. I mean, if you look at major pro-life organizations in our country, the heads of these organizations are women. And the vast majority of activists in the pro-life movement are women. Now, if this was an organization that was anti-woman, why would so many women be in charge of and be carrying out the work of saving women from the horrors of abortion? So that would be the first evidence that I would present. If this was anti-woman, you wouldn't have women leading the charge. The point of the matter is that this is about, number one, saving innocent lives. Science tells us that at the moment of conception, this is a unique human life, a unique human being, not a part of the woman's body, not a part of the man at all. It is a combination of the two of them that creates this unique person, and this unique person, by our own human rights, that life should be protected. And so that's what we're about. We're about protecting that innocent human life. And frankly, we find that when you talk to so many women about their abortions and their experience, that at the time whenever they made that decision to go through with the abortion, we've seen studies that as many as 62% of women, it wasn't their choice to abort their child. They believed that they were coerced or sometimes even forced to abort their own child against their will. So the other side saying, well, this is all about women's choice, is not really true in reality. Women don't want to kill their babies, but because of a lot of pressures from other people in their lives, from their boyfriends or their husbands, or if they're teenagers, maybe their fathers and mothers, to kill their own children, they do this, and then after it's over with, there's no do-over. They can't go back. They can't take it back, and they have to live with the consequences of that. There are physical consequences. There are mental consequences. There are spiritual consequences. There are social consequences of having an abortion. And so what we're when people say that we're somehow against women, we want to spare women of the whole post-abortion experience because they deserve better.
give me just a little bit about the organization and its history. And, you know, I'm assuming you started out with a small staff and have grown to not necessarily a big staff, but, you know, the organization and its what it offers has certainly changed. Give me just a bit of a history.
Well, sure. The Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation actually was incorporated in 1979, so we just celebrated our 40th anniversary since incorporation last year. And it actually began in Pennsylvania even before Roe versus Wade, all across our state, as people were agitating toward lifting abortion restrictions. Organizations formed in different parts of our state who were trying to figure out how to protect babies from dying by abortion. And then after Roe versus Wade, these groups sort of found each other and figured out that it was good what they were doing in their local areas, but if they really wanted to have an impact at the state level, they needed to come together. And so we were formed by grassroots groups from all over the state as a federation. That's why we're called the Federation. They formed us to be the spokespeople at the state level and to provide information and resources for our chapters. We have about 40 chapters across the 67 counties in Pennsylvania that do this same kind of work of educating the public about the truth behind abortion, infanticide, and euthanasia, about advocating for law and public policy that honor life and protect life, and we work very hand in glove with our activists at the local level. We are the largest single issue pro-life grassroots organization in the state of Pennsylvania, and we're an affiliate of the National Right to Life Committee, which has affiliates like us, one affiliate from every state across the nation. So that gives us a chance to influence things at the national level. And we have done things like working hard for Pennsylvania's Abortion Control Act that was enacted and became law in the 1990s. We have advocated for Real Alternatives, an organization that helps provide funding to pregnancy resource centers across the state. They have really, really done a great job of saving babies' lives and saving women from abortion by using even state and federal money to provide these services because of our efforts with the legislature to get this passed every single year in the budget. And so we are out there helping people understand the truth about abortion, infanticide, and euthanasia because, frankly, the other side of those issues are all about deception and painting these things in a way that are not really the reality and are not really true. For example, you know, telling people that, you know, this is a blob of tissue in the mother's womb. I mean, come on, this is the 21st century. Anybody can go on the internet and actually see what goes on scientifically with these babies before birth. And yet there are people out there who hear these things and they believe that, well, I guess that must be true because it's legal and it's a blob of tissue, which is all fake news, basically. It's not really true at all. So we are out there to get the truth out to people. And every day when we kill up to 3,000 babies, that's think of the multiply that out to the exponential number of lives that will never exist because of that. This is what drives me to fight every day. This is such an important thing that we have to do, and I believe God calls each one to do something.
Michael Chicacioppo is the executive director of the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation based in Harrisburg. We want to thank him for joining us today on the WPGM Community Forum on this week of the 47th anniversary of the Roe v. Wade decision on abortion. Thanks to you, the listener, for tuning in as well. This has been a presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. The views expressed on the Community Forum by our guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the moderator, staff, or management of this station.